Environment Natural Resources Committee is open. I'm going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 600. And Sue, before you give us the description, just so everybody in the room knows, I'm going to open a public hearing on 600 and 601 both. So anybody who comes up to testify, you can feel free to testify on both bills. But just so everybody understands the intent of the committee today, Senate Bill 600, after the testimony, we will move to the Ways and Means Committee where it needs to go next. And Senate Bill 601, we will not move, but we are happy to take whatever testimony you think is important to put on the record regarding it. Sue?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 600 directs the Water Resource Department to conduct a statewide water supply and conservation opportunities assessment, sets completion date of July 1, 2009, appropriates money from the general fund to the Water Resources Department to pay the cost of the assessment, and sunsets on January 2, 2010. It does have a subsequent referral to Ways and Means, and we received five letters on the bill that are part of your packet, one from Randy Leonard, who's commissioner of the Portland Water Bureau for the city of Portland, in support of the measure, and one from Leroy Hippy, who expresses some concern about environmental impacts and the need for more stringent enforcement and conservation measures. From Jeff and Tracy Boyer, also concerned about conservation, and Frederick L. Fleetwood with similar concerns, and also from the Westland Irrigation District in support of the measure and the need for additional water supply. There's a dash one amendment.
Mm-hmm.
You want me to explain that one?
You know, why don't you not? Because I think Senator Nelson can go through the whole thing anyway, and there's no reason to do it twice.
And then just briefly, Senate Bill 601 directs the Water Resources Department to conduct a Juniper Canyon Dam and Reservoir initial assessment, sets completion date of July 1, 2009, appropriates money from the general fund to the department to pay costs of the assessment, and sunsets January 2, 2010.
Welcome to the Environment Committee, Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is David Nelson, State Senator from District 29, which is basically four counties in Northeast Oregon, budding the Washington and Idaho lines.
Thank you.
And I have today with me my legislative intern. And Wally, could you please introduce yourself?
Mr. Chair, I'm Wally Hicks from the University of Oregon School of Law.
Welcome, Wally.
Thank you.
He's also an Iraqi war veteran, so
wow.
He's got quite a background.
Thank you.
And he's actually one that came up with this, the concept of the Waters campaign. And I said, we need a catchy phrase, and so he came up with Waters, and it's the way ahead to ensure resource sustainability. The bill basically is a statewide study bill. I've put in the bill with some specific directions concerning the Columbia River, since that's part of my district. But this bill does cover the statewide study, and for the record, the Ways and Means Subcommittee on Natural Resources has passed out a bill that's similar to the governor's request. I think it was $780,000 for the statewide study, plus an additional $120,000 for a groundwater study. So there is another bill that came out through the Ways and Means process. But this is, I wanted this bill to come in just so we could have the discussion on a policy basis, in addition to the asking of money that I have for it. The original bill is intact. There's a dash one amendment that's going to be proposed by the Umatilla tribes that I support, which requests an additional $50,000 for the Umatilla watershed and an additional $50,000 for the Walla Walla watershed. And the reason I did that is that the tribe has obtained federal grants, one from the Department of Interior, I believe in the amount of $500,000, approximately $500,000, and one from the Corps of Engineers for $700,000 for a study for both the Umatilla watershed and for the Walla Walla watershed. So it's a coordinated process. The reason I came up with this bill basically was in response to what the state of Washington has done. It's my thought. It's time for now for the people of Oregon to invest in a water plan for the future. And in the 2006 regular session for the state of Washington, with their House Bill 2860, which passed in the Senate 48-0, and in the House 94-4, they made the statement, their policy statement, that this legislature finds that a key priority of water resource management in the Columbia River Basin is the development of a new water supplies that includes storage and conservation in order to meet the economic and community development needs of people and the in-stream flows of fish. They direct the Department of Ecology, which is their water department, to aggressively pursue the development of water supplies to benefit both in-stream and out-of-stream uses. So that's my direction on this. The thing I'm thinking about here is there's several megatrends that are basically two that I'm looking at, two megatrends. And the first one is climate change. We're talking about global warming. I know the tribe is very concerned about the fact that they may not have fish around or water reservoir that we have in the mountains right at the moment. And so they're looking at some. So they're very interested in this situation. We have dwindling snowpack, surface water evaporation, winter runoff, and issues with salmon. And in some respects, nature is no longer storing water for us. The second big reason is population growth. Projected population, you can see on the screen, is 3.5 million, almost 3.6, and the 2025 projection is about $4.3 million. And the chart shows the growth in the last 30 or 40 years for the state of Oregon. And I don't think there's any reason to think that that's going to change. And in fact, when you think about it, people vote with their feet. As far as global warming, if the temperature does get warmer in Oregon, they're going to be wanting to move here because of the quality of life that we have. Along with this population growth, there's some talk about we're not going to be using more water, but this is a study that came out of, out of the Oregonian, an article where they were projecting what the water use of just for the city of Portland may be. So this really is a statewide issue, and I think the Columbia River has some issues going on in here. The Willamette River Basin, there's times it runs dry. There is a critical need for water. The Klamath Basin, a couple years ago, we had some salmon issues down there, mainly because of the lack of water. The next situation, I think, and it kind of goes to what this committee has done and or is going to do as far as biofuels concerned. You know, how are we going to help the Oregon farmer? How are we going to help our environment? How can we do this all together? And it's my position it's going to be done with water. Because I have the sense that agriculture really is the backbone of what Oregon is doing. I mean, it's the mainstay. That's what's brought us to the dance. That and the timber harvest. We've decimated our timber harvest, so we've got to start relying upon our agriculture. You talked about conservation, or the bill talks about conservation. This slide is really pretty interesting because you can see this on this lower left-hand slide. That's the new style irrigation pivots. In the old days, those pivots would have been on top. Would have been a high volume, high pressure, kind of like a sprinkler system that sprinkle around on tops. So what they've done now with the technology, they have lowered those sprinklers down, and they're hung down below. You can raise and lower those tubes depending upon the height of the crop. And so on windy days, you're closer to the ground, you have less evaporation. And you can see from some of the statements up there, 50% less water than traditional flood, 25% less water than the older style pivots. And if you have a drip irrigation system, then you even use even less. We've got a huge tree farm out there in that area, 40,000 acres is all drip irrigation, and so they're very conservation minded. And that's the point I want to make as far as what the farmers are doing in that area. In the old days, 15 or 20 years ago, those farmers would take 10 acre feet of water to grow a crop, and now they're down to about 3 acre feet of water. So they've achieved about a 70% conservation already, and they're continuing to improve upon all those things. The bottom right-hand one is the pumps. That's actually the Columbia River right behind you, and that's the pumps located at Boardman in Morrow County, the Port of Morrow. And so they pump out into south, into the farmland. And that's important, I think, to expect, because if the state does get to the point where you're talking about doing storages, we've got a lot of the infrastructure already built. I mean, you actually could pump water out of these pumps to fill a reservoir. It's not being done at this point, but it could be done. And they're fairly large pipes, I don't know, 4 feet, 5 feet diameter pipes. And the next part of this is, what is the water availability? I mean, that's always a big issue. The slide on the right represents the entire flow of the Columbia River. And it's at the mouth of the Columbia River, there's 200 million acre feet. And if you want to have that for a comparison, there's about 65 million acres in the state of Oregon. So you can basically cover the entire state of Oregon with 3 feet of water with the amount of water that the Columbia River actually flows. So we have a huge amount of water. And, of course, there's issues about time to take it out and all that. You've got salmon issues. The pie chart on the left indicates, well, it reflects to the little pie chart on the right. That's the amount of water that is drawn out by the states. It's Oregon, Washington, and Idaho. Idaho takes out the most with the Snake River system. Washington's next. And the little red slice that you see there, that's what Oregon takes. And so I'm looking at it from a sense of fairness that the state of Oregon should have a greater share of the water. I'm not saying we should have as much as Washington or Idaho, but you know, if you just even doubled the amount of water that we use in the state of Oregon, you'd be less than 1% of the total flow of the water in the entire Columbia River. One other point I'd like to make, a lot of people say, well, 85% of the water is taken out by irrigation, but you have to remember it's 85% of that little 0.3%. It's not 85% of the entire Columbia River. I mean, some people say that there is a, you know, they're taking 85% of the water out of the Columbia River. We are not taking 85% of the water out of the Columbia River. You know, something about facts, I better not say that. Liars figure and figures lie or something like that. I don't know. The rest, which is 93%, goes out the mouth of the Columbia River. And that is a picture of the mouth. You know, it's a huge resource. There's also folks that talk about, you know, how does the Columbia compare to, say, like the Colorado River, and we have the Missouri River. So we'll go to the next slide. And on the left, the slide on the left depicts, in the green, the flow of the Colorado, the Missouri River, which flows in the Mississippi, and the Columbia River. You'll see that the flow of the Columbia River is about 138 million feet, and the difference between the 200 million and the 38 million is, this is a measurement taken at the Dalles Dam, and they split the Columbia River up sometimes at the Bonneville Dam, but they take most of the measurements at the Dalles Dam. So the measurement of the flow of the Columbia River at the Dalles Dam is about 138 million feet. So you can see, like the Willamette, then, from Senator Byers' district, they flow probably somewhere between 50 to 60 million acre feet. There's other rivers involved, but basically it's the Willamette. So the Willamette flows a huge amount of water also. And so if you're looking at this as a statewide thing, that's a significant thing. The white is the storage capacity of all those rivers. And you can see, if you compare the Columbia and the Missouri, or if you compare the Colorado and the Missouri to the Columbia, the Columbia flows a lot more water, but we have just about the equal amount of storage. And, you know, the Colorado is really an interesting river because it's right around 10 million acre feet. That's the entire year-round flow of the Colorado River. So when you think about it, if you compare the flow of the Colorado to the flow of the Columbia, if it's 10 million acre feet to 200 million acre feet, the Columbia River flows about 20 times what the Colorado flows. So what we have here is an asset that we're not using, and I think it, for the betterment of the state of Oregon, that, you know, we ought to be using that. So that's basically the talk on Senate Bill 600, and then I want to show you this slide. This is the proposed, under 601, the Juniper Canyon storage. You can see if I can get this thing to work here. I think the battery or something. This is the Juniper Canyon right here. And this is the flow of the Columbia going through here. The McNary Dam is, well, you can see where American McNary Dam is. I'm having a hard time with this thing. But along the Oregon-Washington border, that straight line right above where Juniper Canyon is, that whole area to the east, or not that whole area, but there's a large part of that area, that's where the windmills are that Florida Power and Light already has. So I think we have some connection with generating power, using some power from those windmills for the ability to pump water out of the Columbia River. I think it's really pretty a fascinating possibility. Senator Morris brought me over kind of a schematic of the things that he had thought about on this thing, where you could actually pump the water into these reservoirs or create a series of reservoirs or whatever it is using wind power, and then using the drop generation or whatever they call that to regenerate more clean power as you let the water go wherever it's going to go. So another thing about this particular map is the proximity of where we have Juniper Canyon proposed. If you go to the right, go towards Walla Walla, you're talking about going through the Walla Walla River basin. And that's a very significant thing, particularly from the tribal viewpoint. But is there a possibility for us to draw water out of Juniper Canyon to help the flows of the Walla Walla in the summertime? The similar thing is true. The Umatilla goes right through the city of Pendleton. You're not that far away from the city of Pendleton. Is it going to be possible to take water to help the flows in the summertime for that? And then if you go to the left, down towards McNary and Coldstream National Reservoir in Hermiston, that's a critical groundwater area. I think there's a potential that you could draw water, if you could take the water out, store it, to help the critical groundwater area in that particular part of them. So that's why I'm really very interested in this project. So to close up here, we'll go to the next slide. This is a computer-generated drawing of the Juniper Canyon project. The large body of water on the left is the Columbia River. And this is to scale. The proposal is to put the dam about 3/4 mile off the Columbia River, and it backs up into a dry canyon. And the dry canyon does not run salmon in the summertime, whatever the definitions of that are. So they've done a high-level study of that. And I think we may pass out a study of what the water resources did so that you can see the kind of a high-level view of what they're talking about with the Juniper Canyon. So with that, Mr. Chair, if there are any questions or anything, I'd be happy to answer them, or maybe you want to talk to the real experts in the back who have views of the world here.
Senator Beyer.
Thank you. Just one quick question, Senator Nelson. How many acre feet would be stored in that reservoir if it was built in Juniper Canyon?
Under this proposal, it depends upon the height of the dam, of course, it's 50,000 acre feet.
50,000 acre, okay. I'm having a hard time comparing that to an existing
area. Well, I think Detroit has about 400,000 acre feet.
Okay, thank you.
So if you can kind of get some.
Okay,
give
me a perspective.
It would be a smaller dam, and they're talking about the cost of it to build a dam is somewhere between 3,000 and 5,000 per acre feet. So at that type of reservoir, you're looking at maybe $150 million dollars to build a reservoir. So, I mean, that's one of the real issues that we have with the storage projects. The upside is you can take the water out at the time when the salmon aren't running. The downside is, are we willing to invest that money? And so that's what we have to grapple with.
All right. Very good, Senator. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the opportunity to have the hearing.
That was a helpful presentation to the committee. Next, Anita Winkler. And Debbie Colbert and Christine Phillips. Uh,
actually, you can stay there for a minute. Christine isn't going to be coming up, so the two chairs will work, and I'll give you just a minute to get your computer if you need to. Welcome. Go right ahead.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Debbie Colbert with the Water Resources Department, and I'll speak to both of the bills that you're considering today. And just for Senate Bill 600, just wanted to express that, you know, we our overall support for the bill in that it generally reflects the governor's Oregon Water Supply and Conservation Initiative that he included in the department's 2007-2009 budget. And in terms of the Dash 1 amendments that I understand the committee has, again, these are the additions of those two projects in the Walla Walla and Umatilla areas are good projects. We just note that those are additions that aren't included in the governor's recommended budget, so it would be dependent on finding funds to support those additions to the project. And then similarly, just on Senate Bill 601, just mentioned that we think that looking at these kinds of storage opportunities are consistent with the state's approach to meeting future water supply needs, in that, you know, where do we have opportunities to capture winter water when it's available and then store it for times when we need it most in the summer for irrigation and peak municipal needs and those types of uses. So this type of project and study is consistent with looking at those opportunities, but again, just mention that this is not included in the governor's recommended budget for the department.
Chairman Avakian and members of the committee, I'm Anita Winkler. I'm with the Oregon Water Resources Congress. The Congress represents irrigation and water control districts and other similar districts around the state that delivers water for agriculture irrigation. We don't know precisely, but we think our districts deliver about half of the irrigation water for agriculture in the state. We're here in support of Senate Bill 600, and we supported the department's water supply initiative, and in that same vein, support this bill. We, being our districts, have been very active in water conservation around the state, doing piping where we pipe the canals and or line canals in order to reduce the amount of water lost through seepage and evaporation as we move it through the systems. Some of those systems are 70 miles long, so you can imagine how much water gets lost from the starting point to when we finally get it to the farmers. We have some concerns. Some of our districts have water storage available to them in Southern Oregon, Eastern Oregon, and even in the Portland area, Tualatin Valley Irrigation District. But many of those are dependent on snowpack as it melts and runs down to the reservoirs. None of us are going to quibble about the fact that snowpack seems to be fading, and those people are in greater and greater risk if we don't have alternate sources of storage to capture the rainfall. But the most graphic picture of what's facing some of our districts is in the Hood River Basin area, which we've never talked about storage there. We've always relied on the glacier and the snowpack on Mount Hood. This fall, when a piece of that glacier came down and took out Highway 26 on the way up to Mount Hood Meadows, it took out parts of two of our district's water delivery systems, and including a diversion, one of the diversion points for one of our districts, which was bad enough because it's expensive to get it fixed, and they are indeed repairing it and will be up and running. But the part that really struck home is that glacier was their storage. So now part of their storage is gone in the melt, and we're going to have to find some ways to recover the rain that comes in the winter in lieu of the snow and the snowpack and the glaciers. So that's the most graphic, but we're facing that throughout the state in our districts, let alone a district near and dear to Senator Byer's heart of a district east of Salem that is desperately looking for a storage facility because they're in a groundwater limited area, working on yearly or 2 or 3 year limited water permits for groundwater and not knowing literally from year to year if they're going to continue to have water for their farming operations. So I don't think we have a district in the state that isn't facing the problem of trying to find a supply while they're busy trying to conserve and put water back in stream. Have you had to answer any questions?
Anything, committee? Nope. Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
John Barkley, Jr., Jennifer Hudson, and Paul Rainey. Welcome, Mr. Barkley. Ms. Hudson.
Thank you.
Good
Thank you. Chair Avaki and members of the committee, for the record, my name is Paul Rainey. With me today I have John Barkley, the chairman and general counsel, and vice chairman of the Tribes Water Commission, and Jennifer Hudson, who's a policy analyst with the Confederate Tribes of the Umatilla Indian Reservation. First, I'd like to thank Senator Nelson for all his work on this issue. It's an important one to us, and it's been great working collaboratively with him on this. We're here to speak in support of the Senate Bill 600 as well as the Dash 1 amendments. With that, I'd like to turn it over to John Barkley. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, thank you for this opportunity. Representing over 2,600 tribal members of the Cayuse, Umatilla, and Walla Walla tribes in Northeast Oregon, we certainly have some vested concerns in water issues affecting salmon, other resources, and of course those related to our treaty rights. We worked with Senator Dave Nelson, and we are very pleased to offer our support in Senate Bill 600. We believe it is both consistent with the governor's and the Department of Water Resources' desire to have sound water planning information for Oregon's future water supplies and development and for the protection and recovery of vital fisheries. It is also consistent with our policy of managing water based upon facts and balance. Protection and recovery of Oregon's Columbia River salmon and other fish runs is critically important to the tribe as well as other constituents of the state. And our culture has been sustained and nurtured for over 10,000 years by salmon, sturgeon, eels, and of course other aquatic species reliant upon those water resources. The protection and the sustainability of Oregon's agriculture is also very important to the tribe, as evident by our past efforts in the basin involving the Umatilla Basin Project and the success that it has proven in phases one and phases two. Umatilla tribes are a driving force in coalescing sometimes divergent forces on water use by the various stakeholders in Umatilla and Morrill counties, and we feel especially compelled to offer suggestions for improvements with some friendly amendments to Senate Bill 600. Our effort to convince the federal government, as maybe in your experiences, is not always an easy thing to do, that to invest substantially again in the Umatilla Basin water planning and development is about to bear fruit for irrigation and for tribal interest. To make sure Senate Bill 600 supports this federal investment, we have recommended the following specific amendments. Number one, recognize specifically the longstanding agriculture and tribal partnerships in the Umatilla and Walla Walla Basins and the importance of the federal presence and investment. Number two is identify the legislation's intent to maximize the benefits of the ongoing tribal irrigation, state-federal partnerships where federal water supply development projects are already underway, such as the Umatilla and Walla Walla Basins. Number three, add the Umatilla Basin Project Phase 3 water exchange and the Walla Walla Basin in-stream flow project as projects that should be contributed to in the OWRD work to implement Senate Bill 600. Number four, to direct the OWRD to provide input from the studies under Senate Bill 600 to the federal investigations ongoing in Walla Walla and Umatilla federal projects. And number five, to provide for direct additional funding of $50,000 to Umatilla Basin Project and $50,000 to Walla Walla Basin Project to complete the water supply and conservation opportunities in these basins. And as I was advising Senator Nelson here prior to this hearing, that we certainly have some incredible collaborative partnerships established in those basins, particularly Walla Walla, you know, many stakeholders over there to be commended for their investment and their initiatives to see that we address and resolve some of the water issues and dilemmas posed by the lack thereof that we've been facing here in recent past. And we are making some considerable strides and would like to see that that momentum continue. So we appreciate this opportunity to offer these amendments, and our tribe's as principal employer in the area and a significant contributor to our local economy, that we are working hard to continue to expand our economic and cultural contributions to Oregon, and we think that these amendments will help contribute to that, as well as for those constituents of the state of Oregon that rely on the tribes for their own livelihoods. So again, thank you very much, and we'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Mr. Barkley. Ms. Hudson?
Oh, I'm just available for questions, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Is this your boy with you that you brought today?
Yes, this is my son. It's his first trip to the Capitol.
What's his name?
Joshua Barkley.
Hi, Joshua.
Hi.
Welcome to the Capitol. Not a bad place, huh?
Yeah.
Glad you're here.
Not bad. It's awful.
Did you have any questions, Senator?
No, we don't. Thanks very much for your testimony.
Thank you very much.
John DeVoe, Leslie Buick, and Jim Welsh. And while these three are making their way up, is there anybody else in the room that wanted to testify on either 600 or 601?
No.
Mr. DeVoe, whenever you're ready.
Chair Bacon, I'm Jim Welsh, representing Oregon Cattlemen's Association. And, you know, from the first time we looked at this Senate Bill 600 and then followed up by looking at 601, we've been supportive. And don't have to go through all the reasons why, because they are listed within the bill themselves. And we realize that it's been a struggle to get, you know, water impoundment projects in Oregon. But a good assessment will help us, we hope, and we hope it would be something we could light a fire under. It's a lot of what we had one, I think, as I understand, in the early 90s or late 80s, and it's sitting on the shelf collecting dust. I think we need to take this information to heart and help our economy, help the agriculture community, and certainly it's going to augment, and a lot of these projects that have been identified in the past will augment stream flows and fisheries. And so there's a lot of good reasons for these, and we just hope it's not another dust collector. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Chair Bakke and members of the committee, my name is John DeVoe. I'm the Executive Director of Water Watch of Oregon. Water Watch is a nonprofit river conservation group dedicated to protection and restoration of natural flows in Oregon's rivers. We work to ensure there's enough water in Oregon's rivers to sustain fish, wildlife, and the people who depend on healthy rivers across the state. We also work for balanced water laws and policies. We have members across the state who care deeply about our rivers, their inhabitants, and the effects of water laws and policies on these resources. Let me start by saying Water Watch is not anti-storage. But we do believe there has been an inordinate amount of focus on the supply side of the water equation and much less focus on the demand side of that equation. We believe we could do much better on the demand side of the equation by focusing some of our resources in that area and actually making conservation a priority, both the municipal, agricultural, and industrial levels. Let me start with a couple facts here. Between 1990 and 2000, the United States Geological Survey tells us that water use in Oregon declined in the agricultural sector, in the industrial sector, and in the municipal sector. And it did that despite adding 300,000 acres of agricultural production during that period, and it did that despite adding 250,000 people to Oregon's population. Everything we do with water, we could do with less water. And that needs to be the byword, the catchphrase for how we approach water planning in this state as we move forward. The city of Seattle grew by 750,000 people between 400,000 people between 1975 and 2005, and yet it now uses less water than it used in 1964. It got there through aggressive conservation, through mandatory curtailment in times of drought, through public education and other hard conservation measures. You see similar trends in the city of Portland. You can go to see the data for the city of Corvallis. Many cities across Oregon are using similar amounts or less water than they have used historically as they implement conservation measures. Same thing is true in agriculture. If you look in the Umatilla Basin, there have been aggressive conservation measures, and we applaud that. But other parts of the state are definitely lagging behind in terms of promoting conservation. WaterWatch is offering amendments to Senate Bill 600, and with those amendments, we could support the bill. We believe a statewide water supply and conservation initiative is important to the state and in planning, but only if it is broad enough in scope to give a more complete and meaningful picture of the demands on Oregon's water resources, including both in-stream and out-of-stream needs, the amount of water actually available to meet demands, and what our future management options might be. WaterWatch has supported the state's water storage and conservation initiative, with one exception that I'll discuss. And we have worked with other groups to ensure that that item makes it into the governor's budget and makes it through the budget process. However, let me discuss briefly our suggested amendments to Senate Bill 600. First,
and if you, I'm fine with you doing that, but do it very briefly because we're not going. They're not even out yet, and they'll get a full hearing somewhere else.
Right.
So do it very briefly.
First, the findings section should more accurately reflect the report that was the source of those findings. Second, the purposes section of the bill should be amended so that the study remains a fact-gathering exercise as contemplated by the Water Resources Department's Supply and Conservation Initiative. If this truly is a data collection exercise, we don't believe the bill should be directing that information be used in any specific way. In addition, we don't see the need to look at Columbia water availability. As I've attached to our testimony, a memorandum from the Water Resources Department that contains data on when water is and is not available from the Columbia. We know the answer to that question under current metrics. The question is, are we going to change the metric? And we would not believe that's appropriate. Oregon also knows when water is generally available for storage across the state based on 1999 work in the peak flow study group, and I've attached that to our testimony as well. So we question the need for new studies that would duplicate existing information in that respect. Finally and importantly, we believe that any study should include what are termed peak or ecological flow needs of rivers. There is an assumption that winter water or wet season water is simply excess water that can be captured and stored in a system. But that water does have a function ecologically in the system, both for channel maintenance, for habitat creation, and for flushing purposes to get migrating salmon smolts and steelhead smolts to the ocean. So we believe that any study should include data analysis and collection on those types of flows and their importance in the system, so that as we move into a phase of building new projects, we don't neglect those important functions in a river system. With that, I will conclude on Senate Bill 600. Senate Bill 601, WaterWatch opposes this bill because we believe that the Water Supply and Conservation Initiative should first collect the data across the state, and only then should we begin prioritizing sites for storage. We believe that the proposal in 601 jumps the gun, and the Juniper Canyon site may not turn out to be a priority site in terms of water need or suitability for a storage project. So we would urge the committee to let the state study play out and only then begin selecting sites. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today.
Thank you.
Ms. Bach?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Leslie Bach. I'm the Director of Freshwater Programs for the Nature Conservancy in Oregon. And over 22,000 member households support our mission here in Oregon of protecting plants, animals, and natural communities and the land and waters they need to survive. The Nature Conservancy strongly supports science-based long-range planning. We believe that we need to take a comprehensive look at our water demand and water supply needs in order to make the best decisions possible and in order to protect biodiversity, to protect and conserve biodiversity. We like the intent of Senate Bill 600, and we would support it with certain amendments, which I will address right now. First of all, we'd like to see the scope of this study expanded. We'd really like to see a comprehensive analysis of water supply, water demand, and the various tools that are available for ensuring that we have sufficient supply of water in the future. To that end, we would suggest that in addition to looking at deficiency, that we also look at demand reduction and other opportunities for reducing demand through conservation, management of use, and additional supply opportunities through land use changes. Secondly, we want to make sure that the study addresses the water needs of biodiversity. That would include addressing or developing assessments of in-stream water needs, and in particular on streams that don't already have legally protected in-stream water rights. We would like to see the in-stream water needs of biodiversity considered and addressed and some information developed along those lines. We also believe that the study should look at potential negative effects on freshwater biodiversity and screen out those projects that have those potential negative effects. And then finally, we like to see the study expanded beyond the concept simply of basin yield estimates, just simply looking at volumes of water that are generated from a given watershed, to include additional or a more expanded analysis of basin hydrology. And this would involve looking at some of the various environmental flow components, specifically peak flows or high flows and their ecological importance, upstream and downstream migration flows for fish, and channel forming and maintenance flows. And we'd like to see that the study address these flows and their ecological and biological benefits. Thank you for the opportunity to comment on this bill, and we'd be happy to answer any questions or provide any additional information.
Anything? Okay. No. Thank you very much, though, for your testimony. Appreciate everybody's testimony on both of the bills. With that, I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bills 600 and 601. I'm going to open up a work session on Senate Bill 600. And Senator Beyer, if I could have a motion on the dash ones.
Mr. Chair, I move the dash one amendments into Senate Bill 600.
Senator Beyer moves the dash ones into 600. Any discussion or objections? Seeing none. The dash ones are adopted, and a motion on the bill to Ways and Means.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 600 as amended to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior referral.
If it do pass. Senator Beyer, thank you for your motion for the Senate Bill 600 as amended to Ways and Means with a do pass recommendation. Any discussion? I would only just like to say we have in front of this committee, we're not hearing them all, but I don't know, maybe a dozen bills related to irrigation or water storage or something. And Senator Nelson, I think you have hit on the one that probably gets Oregon to the best position it can possibly be in with helping the folks in the eastern part of the state and southern part of the state, and actually all over the state with regard to the other irrigation and water needs, and don't know that we'd have been in this position without your really tremendous leadership, so thank you for that. Any objections? Seeing none, motion carries. And with that, I will close the work session on Senate Bill 600, and we are adjourned.